Good evening, class. Our lesson today is be dealing with three requirements for delegated authority. Take these notes down very carefully because this point or these points I'm about to share are very vital if you being put in a position of delegated authority. Listen at this now. Beyond a personal knowledge of authority and a life under authority, God's delegated authority needs to fulfill three following principles of requirement. Number one, write this down. He or she must know that all authority comes from God. That's Romans 13. All authority does come from God, and a delegated authority has to know that all authority comes from God. If not, he's going to get in trouble. Every person who is called to be a delegated authority should remember that there's no authority except from God. And those authority that exist are set up by God. Romans 13 and 1. Write these scriptures down because these scriptures are going to be seen again. Romans 13 and 1, he himself is not the authority, and that has to be remembered. Nor can anyone make of himself an authority. Listen, they are utterly worthless. A person is utterly worthless in ministry, in the home, in the entire world system, if he doesn't understand the point that you yourself are not the authority. Only what comes from God constitutes authority and commands man obedience. Sometimes people try to make people obey them out of this self-effort because they try to make themselves authority. But the revelation here that we need to understand and receive is that you have no authority except that which be given you of God. And that's very important. A delegated authority is to represent God's authority, never to assume that he too has authority. These points are very important because if you assume you have authority, then you are out of order with God because then God cannot be an authority and you an authority. Remember that point. We ourselves have not the slightest authority in the home, in the world, or in the church. All we can do is execute God's authority. We cannot create authority for ourselves. And I wish you can understand just how important that statement I just made is, because there are a lot of fathers in the home, there are a lot of delegated authority in the church, and even in the world system, try to make themselves of authority. And therefore, they try to get to a point of trying to make men do what they want to do. And that's not authority at all. We call that word control, C-O-N-T-R-O-L. And God does not permit control in his kingdom system. Remember that. Likewise, those who are placed in authority in the church merely represents God's authority. The authority is due to their being in a representative capacity, not because they themselves have any merit more excellent than the rest. And the whole setup God has is that when you represent him from his authority point of view, then there's no problem in him allowing you to delegate authority on his behalf. Only on his behalf do we have authority. Only on his behalf do we represent God and are placed in a position of authority. We only say what God says and can only do what God does. Matter of fact, we're going to see that scripture where Jesus made that statement in one of the gospels. He said, I do what my father do. I say what my father say. And Jesus is the most authoritative person that ever walked in the flesh upon this earth. He knew authority because he was authority. He was not trying to act as authority. Jesus himself was authority. For one to be in authority does not depend on his having ideas. See, ideas will get you in trouble. Your own thoughts get you in trouble. Rather, does it hinge on knowing the will of God? Well, knowing the will of God is one part of a walking authority, but you can't hinge it on that alone. Why can't you hinge on that alone? Because then you will try to function on the word alone when authority, you can't make the word do what you want it to do. You only got to take the word as God leads you in the word to do whatever he wants to do. The word is authority when it comes from God's mouth. And when you obey God and you stand fasted, that same word that comes out of God's mouth, when it comes out of your mouth, then it becomes an authority. Because sometimes people can take scriptures and try to make people do what they want people to do. Well, there's an instant where a man said, well, the Bible said a wife's supposed to submit to her husband. Yeah, that's true. But only when that husband is submitted to God. He can't take the scriptures, even though the Bible says wives submit yourself to your husband, you can't take that scripture and make it your own authority. Or am I making sense? But it's true anyway. It's true anyway. God establishes a person to be his delegated authority entirely on the basis of that person's knowledge of God's will. You see, your knowledge of God's will is going to put you in a delegated position, because when you know God's will, you're going to act according to God's will. You're going to be submitted to God's will. You're going to submit to his spirit, and you're going to only see what God says and do what God do. Amen? All right. It has nothing at all to do with having many ideas, strong opinion, or noble thoughts. And sometimes strong opinion are good. And sometimes noble thoughts are good. But you can't base authority on that. Indeed, such people who are strong in themselves are greatly to be feared in the church. Why is that statement so true? Because people that are strong, opinionated, people that have a lot of strong ideas. You see, Paul stated in 1 Corinthians that not many wise men are used. You see, not many smart, knowledgeable men are used, because then not many noble men are used, because then they're going to try to depend on their own ability. They're going to try to depend on their own knowledge. They're going to try to depend upon their own wisdom. And God never designed us to operate on our own ability, our own knowledge, and our own wisdom. Then you created an authority within yourself, and God will not permit it. He will not permit you to operate in your own ability, own authority, when you're trying to govern the church. Amen? All right, so that point is very important to understand that God set men in authority after his own will, and those that follow his will. So let's move on. Those in authority are responsible to instruct younger ones in the knowledge of God's will. However, in each and every dealing with them, it is imperative for the delegated authority to know beyond doubt what the Lord's will is in that particular affair. So whenever you're directing, teaching, instructing, or giving counsel, it all has to be in accordance with God. See, people are like sheep sometimes. Jesus referred them as sheep. What I mean, sheep, I'm not saying they're dumb animals, but they'll obey easily without thought. And so sometimes people will follow the leader, and the leader will give bad advice, give bad counsel, give bad guidance, and then they'll follow because that's who they are and they're created to follow. So it's so important that a person that in authority position give good guidance according to God's will, give good counsel according to God's will. See, all these things are important in being delegated authority. It's not just being in charge. It's being in charge as God permits you to be in charge, as God will certain things in your life or to put in other people's life, and that that's the word called accountability, and another word called responsibility. So when God gives delegated authority, those two categories falls in line. Accountability on one side and responsibility on the side. You cannot have authority without these both hinging on you and a part of you and in you. And it has to be a knowing in you that I'm responsible for what comes out of my mouth. I'm accountable for what comes out of my mouth. And God will hold you accountable. God will hold you responsible when you misdirect his children in his delegated authority. And so that's why you got to have wisdom, God's wisdom. You got to have understanding, God's understanding. And you got to have God's submissiveness already in your heart. You can't be an authority learning submission. You can be an authority already having submission as the basic foundation for your walk with God. And that's why it's so important that you be able to have these things hinging on you. Accountability, responsibility. Then he may act. After I say those things, listen to this. Then he may act, that person who I just spoke, as God's representative authority and minister with authority. See, you can only minister with authority when you're functioning under God's authority in line with his will, in line with his word, in line with his wisdom, in line with his understanding. So you have to have all those things in line. He has no authority. Listen. He has no authority to command obedience. No authority to command obedience. See, obedience comes from God. And, well, the principle of obedience comes from God. And for a man in his own ability to command obedience, that would be almost like dictatorship. But a person, God put men with wills. And men and women that are matured in the church, they have a word called discernment. And in that discernment, they know when the leader is going off. God reveals to them when they're asked to do something that the Spirit of God is not behind. And so we have to be careful to have that other element called discernment when you are following those that God delegates that authority. But some men God has anointed and appointed a delegate authority. They have proved themselves over the years with a divine track record. Take our apostle, for example. You know, some people say, well, you don't follow blindly. I've got to the point where I follow my apostle because I trust him with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my might, that whatever he says, I know his lifestyle. I know the amount of time he's spending with the word. I know the amount of time he's spending with prayer with God. And so I've learned to trust him. I learned to trust what he's saying. I learned to trust even, listen to this. Just going to another level. I even trust what he thinks. What do you mean? I even trust his opinion because I know they're all breathed on by God. When you spend enough time in the word, enough time in prayer, even a man of God, woman of God, their opinions are anointed. So I learned to listen with carefulness. I learned to listen not being my own opinionated. What does that mean? My judging everything comes out of authority. When the authority has proved himself, there's no place for judgment. There's a place for what we call submission. And then you can submit freely and submit openly and submit with a word I'm going to use, submit boldly. I boldly submit to my apostle. Is he right all the time? No, if he's not right, God, that's God's business of making those adjustments. It's not our job to make adjustment when authority is not right. But one thing about my apostle, you see, I use the word my apostle because this is impersonal. When my apostle feels like he's come back and tell you, we're not going that direction. We're going to go this direction. See, you can follow a man of God with honesty, with no faith to save, with the authority that he's, listen to this word, authority that he's earned. He's earned his delegated authority. Some people try to just take authority, but spiritual authority is earned. Remember I said that. Where am I now? He has authority. He has no authority to command obedience. No one is able to be God's delegate authority, listen to this now, unless he has learned to obey God's authority. You see, that's what I just said. He has to first learn that's why God can't put novices in position. God can't use novices. People just beginning in the word. People just, yeah, I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. Young men are put in position of authority within the church, and they're novices and have not got to this point here, have not learned. You see it? They have not learned to obey God's authority. and understand his will. So if they hadn't learned to obey God's authority, how do they expect you to obey their authority? See, authority has to be learned. Let me find another word. It has to be experienced. There's some brokenness. There's some area of correction in your life. There's some things you got to go through to experience this. So, and there's some dying you got to do. I can't leave that word out. Learn authority and learn obedience causes dying in your life. Dying to what? Dying to my own thoughts, dying to my own opinion, and dying to my own will. And then when you do that, you can submit to God's thought. You can submit to God's will. And remember, I told you that. All right? So if a man represents a certain, listen to this. This is a good example. This is a very good example to put right here so you can understand where we're going with this lesson. In knowing, we're still dealing with the first principle of the one that God apprehends as delegated authority. Here's a good example here. Let me find it again. If a man represents a certain company in negotiating a business contract, before he signs the contract, he must first consult with his general manager. He cannot sign the agreement independently. Similarly, I can't pronounce that word, one who acts as God's delegated authority needs to be first know the will and the way of God before he's able to put authority in effect. What is he saying there? He's saying before a representative can act as authority and sign a certain business contract, he got to know what the will of the owner is. So before we can enforce authority or use God's authority in any situation, in any circumstance, we got to know what the will of the owner is. We got to know what the will of God is before we can do anything. If that's understandable. See, you'll stay out of trouble because there's no authority independently. You can't function independently. Likewise, you must first know the will and the way of God before he's able to put authority into effect. He can never give to the brothers and sisters an order which God has not given. My goodness. He can never give to the church, the brothers and sisters whom God had made him delegate authority. He can never give to the church as a representative any order, any command, without first finding out what God is. One thing I like about our apostle, yeah, I keep talking about him because he's the most defined authority I've seen with my own eyes and have sat under as a person, one of the most authoritative I've ever seen in the earth realm, but yet one of the most humblest man. See, authority comes with humility. And with that humility in place, he's not going to say anything that God didn't say. I watched that over the years. He's not going to do anything. And he spent hours. He'll come to the congregation on a Sunday or Wednesday. He said, you don't know how many, oh my goodness, you don't know how many hours I've sat before the Lord for this moment right here. I appreciate that. And why I appreciate that? Because I know every word that mutters or comes out of his mouth is officiated. My goodness. It's officiated by God. In other words, he's only saying what you hear God say. And that was so good about it. So I can receive in my heart. Some people get spiritual indigestion. Spiritual indigestion is they're trying to digest stuff that ain't good for them. You see, but I had no spiritual indigestion when I came here on Sunday. No spiritual indigestion when I come here on Wednesday night. No spiritual indigestion when I sit in these classes in minister school. But why? Because he's already digested for us. God's already given the blueprint to give us. Why? He spent much time with God. So one of the qualifications of delegate authority, you must have communion with God. You must spend many hours, you spend many more hours. I don't know how to stress that. As an employee here, I get to spend close contact sometimes. Go in his home, do things at his home, and be around him a lot more than the average people here. And it's outstanding that every time I see him, he's sitting in his rocker on the porch studying, reading, or sitting in some other places in his home studying and praying and reading. His whole life is devoted to what I'm talking about here. His whole life is in fulfilling God's will as God gave him that divine will. So I have no problem following a leader or delegate authority as such because he's been proven. And so I'm saying to say this, that you cannot be placed at a delegate authority unless you've been proven to know and understand the will of God and experience God. Most people have no experience of God in their life. They have the word. They've seen some dreams, but I'm talking about experience. Spend time with God in their private life. I hear him say all the time. You must first develop your private life before your public life can mean anything to anybody. And that word affected my life many years ago. So I began working on these things many years ago. My personal private life. I learned to start spending time with God for myself. I learned to start spending time in the word and prayer myself. Amen. Amen. So a person who has not the knowledge of authority and have not acknowledged anything by God, he will be representing himself. You see it? And not God. Now, you don't want to sit under nobody as a delegated authority from God representing himself, would you? No, you wouldn't. Because all you get all you get is self-help. A person that has not those things that we talk about, you don't want self-help. You want help from the Spirit of God. You want help rightly divided from the word of truth. That's the kind of help you want. My goodness. He must first know God's will, and before we act on God's behalf, then shall his action come under God's, then shall his action come under God's approval. You see it? Only God's acknowledged judgment is authoritative. My goodness. Whatever comes from men, is wholly void of authority. You don't want that. Whatever comes from men is wholly void of authority, for it can only represent himself. For this reason, we must learn to rise high and to touch deeply in spiritual things. You see it? So just being in authority, to bring it in layman terms or in everyday terms, just being in authority don't mean I could just pick up a book, pick up a Bible, and become that. No, there's a process. We're going to get into it later, but that's the process of brokenness. That's the process of nailing yourself to the cross. You heard what I said? You're nailing yourself to the cross. In other words, willingly dying to yourself. Paul said that I die daily, and I understand why. Because if you don't watch it, self will always try to rise yourself up. That's in the human nature. Always try to rise. Always want to be seen. Always want to be touched. Always want to be exalted. So you got to keep that flesh underneath. Keep it in under harness. You see? We need to have a more abundant knowledge of God's will and God's way. In other words, everything I say about authority had to deal with God's knowledge and God's way and God's will. We should see what others have not seen. My goodness. We should see what others have not seen and attain to what others have not attained. You don't get that off the surface. I heard one man say a long time ago, he was teaching. He said, back in the gold rush days, he said, when they would go out to pan for gold, He said, you'll find the little small bits and pieces of gold, you know, just shook in these little pans, and they'll find a little bit and pieces of gold, you know, just panning for it. He said, but if you want the real nuggets, guess what? You have to dig for it. And so what I'm saying is, you might get a little pieces of a revelation here and there, you know, off the surface, you know. But if you want the real revelation, you got to dig. How you dig for it? You spend time with God. You spend time in prayer. You spend time in the Word of God. And you begin to understand and acknowledge the will of God. And that's how you get it. And that's what I watch my apostle do and continue doing. He never lost his hunger. He never lost his thirst. Am I preaching, brother, apostle? No. Yes, I am. That's the only example I got right now. Jesus on the throne. But that's the only living example I got. And I tell you what, it helped me my whole life. And I'm going to continue doing what I've been doing. Amen. There's no authority except from God. See, that's the whole point of the lesson. Romans 13. There's no authority apart from the authority of God. If we have seen nothing before God, then we have absolutely no authority before men. I'm going to say it again. If we have seen nothing before God, then we have absolutely no authority before men. In other words, if we haven't been somewhere in the spirit, if we haven't experienced a death that we've died, if you never experienced somebody pointing their finger in you. I remember we had a minister one time, you know, back a few years ago. He came to school late. I don't know what his excuse was. He was a pastor too. He came in the class late, and apostle stopped teaching. He said, "Why are you late? Sit down and take your seat." Man, goodness, I felt that myself. and I wasn't the man coming late. And after class, he came to me. He said, he was crying. What he did? He experienced a debt. He'd never been cut like that before. He experienced authority. He said, I wouldn't be here no if the Lord didn't tell me to come. That's what he told me that night. And then a couple of weeks later, he made another statement. He said, he came to himself after he thought about the experience of what apostle did that night. He came to himself after he lost his embarrassment. You know, you got to get past embarrassment. Because I know he felt that physically, spiritually, mentally, every way he was, he could feel. He felt like he was a little lower than that chair he was sitting in. And so he came to me a couple of weeks later. He said, you know, I never had anybody dealt with me like that before. He said, that's the best thing ever happened to me, with tears in his eyes. So what I'm saying is this, you have to have some dying and some experience. It changed his pastorship. It changed the way he dealt with people. Because he never experienced death. That's what he was saying. I've never had somebody put their fingers in my face. And sometimes God got to use men. Why he used men? Because men can relate to men. You see, you don't see God. And you feel like you're getting by with some things. But when you're dealing with men that with lack of passion, then you got a face. It's different. That's why God used men to correct men. And so he had some things he had to learn. Sometimes people think they arrive. No, you never arrive. God always going to take you a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper in the realm of the spirit. So you got to have that breakiness. Do not think that because one is older, he can suppress the younger. That's something else I'm talking about. Because one is a brother, he can oppress the sisters. Or because one is quick-tempered, he can subdue the slow in temper. To try to do this will not be successful. Whoever wishes that others be subject to the authority must himself first learn to know God's authority. That's a very important statement I just made. Very important statement. Very important statement. I got something else. I want you to listen to this. Listen to this. All right, just give me a minute. I'm trying to make my way to number two. I didn't think I'd get far as this. But let's go to the second phase of the thing, which give us God credential for being a delegated authority. Let's see. Give me a minute. You learn anything? I'm teaching myself. Communion. Let's talk about communion. I mentioned that earlier, that how important communion is with God in understanding delegated authority or being a delegated authority. There has to be this element. What is communion? We're going to find out right now. Because this is another principle requirement for one authority. Listen. The nearer one is to the Lord, the clearer he sees his own fault. We need to read that again. The nearer one is to the Lord, I mean the closest, I'm talking about the communion part of it, the clearer he sees his own fault. See, sometimes you can't see your own fault. Why? Because sometimes that's not enough the Lord in you. And well, let me explain that statement. Sometimes that's not enough. Not enough anointing upon you. You see it? I remember, I think it was Hezekiah came before the Lord and he told the Lord that he was not worthy. And God had to put some coals on his tongue. But then he said, when King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. So what's my point here? My point is just that the closer you get to God, you begin to see what you don't see. You begin to God. What God does is God sometimes uncloses us. I don't know if that's a good way to say that. God he exposes ourself to us. You see, it's easier. It's better when God exposes ourselves to us than he won't have to expose ourselves to the world. You know, men have utterly failed, and then the shortcoming got exposed before the world. But what happened is when you get a close fellowship, close communion with God, God begins to expose you to yourself. That's better. So you can make this little correction. You can make this little correction, and nobody you and God. Isn't that good? Nobody but you and God know, but it's only come through a deep communion with God, and so God show you faults. There's a scripture in Psalm. It says, "Search me, O God, know my heart." You know it. "Try me and know my thought. See if there be any wicked." You're asking God to show you your faults, because to be a delegated authority, that's what communion does. It don't show you somebody else's faults. That's what we want. It's easy to see other people's faults. But it's a different when God allows you to see your own faults. Are you with me? Having been brought face to face with God. How many have been brought face to face with God? And most times when everybody that I know been face to face with God, they say, "Lord, I'm undone. Lord, I see all my struggles. Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm undone." They've been brought in God's presence. And you see your weakness and you see your inability. You see it? And the more you spend time with God, the more you see your inability and your weaknesses, and then you don't depend on yourself no more. You got to depend on God because you can't do it in your ability and you can't do it in your strength. And so that was so good by becoming face to face with God. That we're talking about what? We're talking about characteristic and these different requirements for being an authority. And so important. Now, sometimes people skip these steps we're talking about. They want to be an authority, but they've never been through this process. You got to go through the process. And these process get you ready for authority. You can't get voted in an authority. Some people just voted in by authority to be an authority. No, it don't work like that. You got to pass through God first. He has no confidence in his flesh. These credentials. He begins to be afraid lest he error. You see it? And that's where God wants you. God wants you in a position where you're afraid to make a mistake. And so I walk close with God. I walk closely with God. I follow by his steps because I don't want to misstep. See, I don't want to misrepresent God. So I'm going to spend a lot of time with God so I can know your ways. You see it? I can know your steps. I can ponder your steps. Every time you move your feet, I want to put my foot in the place you move your feet. That's how close a delegated authority should be falling behind God. When God moves his feet, you try to put your foot right in that place. And then God can be able to lead you where he wants you to go. And not you trying to lead God. Some people, like I hear apostles say, sometimes people try to take the word of God and lead themselves. No, the spirit without the letter, or the letter without the spirit, is dead. Amen. He dare not therefore speak with such firmness. He has no confidence in his flesh. He begins to be afraid lest he error. On the other hand, those who speak casually expose themselves at being far from God. Oh, let me read it again. Those who speak casually, they say anything, expose themselves, then you will know that they're not close to God. You show you how far they are from God because they speak without any fear, without any error. You can't say anything in the presence of God. You can't say anything as a delegated authority of God, a God to hold you accountable. He'll withdraw himself from you. I'm almost done. It says the fear of God cannot be put on outwardly. Only those who always wait on the Lord possess this virtue. What's virtue? The fear of God. It's not a cloak you put on outwardly. It's not a covering. You know, it's an inward covering. It's an inward cloak. And it's an inward virtue. Although she had heard much, it was not until the Queen of Sheba actually came into the presence of Solomon that there was no more strength or no more spirit in her. But we have a greater than Solomon before us. We should be breathless, waiting at the door like servants, acknowledging that indeed we know nothing. Acknowledging what? That we know nothing. Know nothing of ourselves. My, that's the place to be in. That's the place to be in. And I'm going to say it again. I'm just saying what I hear because that's the way my apostle is. Why you didn't say our apostle? I made him my apostle. You make him your apostle personally. He said he know nothing of himself. And that's why God can use him the way he does. Because he lets you know that I don't know anything. He doesn't know where God raised him up from. And so that's why God can't use many people. Because they're too smart for themselves. You got too much knowledge. Are you with me? All right. Knowing nothing. Nothing is more serious than a servant of God should speak carelessly before he knows the will of God. I'm going to say that one more time. I got 2 minutes left. Nothing is more, underline this if you can catch it. Nothing is more serious than a servant of God that he should speak carelessly before he know the will of God. What trouble one creates when he makes a judgment before he is clear concerning the Lord's will. Well, class, that's all the time I got. And take these notes and look over them again. And because we're gonna continue here next time we meet, we're gonna keep. That's two steps I didn't cover, and we're gonna try to we dealt with communion this time, and we're gonna go to the third one next time we meet. All right, class is ended. Go in peace. Amen.